And time now to welcome onto the show a very, very special guest indeed. I've been a huge fan of his for a very long time. Broadcaster, author, composer, whom I hope will join us on the Composer Series sometime very soon as well. But today, he's here to talk about Laurel and Hardy. Please welcome Neil Brand. How are you, sir? Welcome.
Hello, John. Thanks very much for having me on. Very well, thanks.
Okay, so we're talking about Laurel and Hardy. Shall I be Stan and you be Ollie, or shall we do that the other way around? How do you...
Yeah, I'm about the same size as Ollie. Actually, no, I'm not. Ollie was the size of a house by the time he came to the end of his life. But isn't that interesting that the first thing you put your finger on is the shape of them? It's like we all know them. That's one of the things the show's about, is that straight away, I think generations down the line have seen, you know, a big guy and a small guy screwing up royally, and it's a Laurel and Hardy moment. It's a Laurel and Hardy incident. It's something, you know, so they're still very much part of our DNA, and that's what the show's about, actually. I've been amazed how many people have come out of the woodwork to come and see them. Mostly people who either saw them on television in the 60s and 70s when they used to put them on TV, on sort of Saturday mornings and school holidays, stuff like that, or whose parents were into them and introduced them to them. And it's an absolute joy being on the road, just getting laughs for a couple of hours, you know?
A bit of escapism. Tell us about the show, because it's coming here in Portsmouth. It's coming to the New Theatre Royal. Tell us all about it and what we can expect from the show.
Basically, it's it's an introduction. Anybody who doesn't really know Laurel and Hardy will learn all about them. Anybody who does know Laurel and Hardy will see their best silent comedy. There's a wonderful sort of opening part to the show in which I talk about where they came from, who they were, how their comedy developed. Two very, very different guys. Stan, you know, born in England, a bit of a firecracker. And Ollie, born in Georgia, who was shy, sensitive. And yet both of them wound up working for Hal Roach. Both of them end up being put together as kind of one completely great comic. And then in the second half, I'll show two of their greatest comedy shorts, a film called Big Business, in which all they're trying to do is sell somebody a Christmas tree, and they end up smashing up his house while he ends up smashing up their car. And another one called Liberty, in which they're at the top of a barely finished skyscraper. They're on the open girders of a partially built skyscraper trying to swap their trousers over. Now, what's not to love at the end of the day? It is pure escapism. And I think it's worth bearing in mind that Laurel and Hardy reached their kind of real golden period during the 1930s at the height of the Great Depression. And there's something about them now appearing in front of audiences when times are tough. And that, I think, is part of what makes them work, is that there's something kind of timeless about them. They have such a wonderful sort of sense that it's our world they're in. You know, it's a recognizable world. And yet the way they're sorting things out and the way they're getting what they want to get done is so, you know, so much what we wouldn't expect, but it's so funny to watch it. And it's quite kind of freeing to see cops being kicked up the backside and people being taken on generally. And the two of them, you know, they can't even get through a door at the same time. And yet when they actually do work together beautifully, it's like choreographed. It's gorgeous to watch.
It's funny, you were just literally saying, well, actually, it's not funny when you look at the context, but you were just saying about how their height of success during the Great Depression, and yet here we are in another recession. The world is changing politically. You know, there's a lot going on in the world to be very upset about, to be fair. And it's almost like we need them right now, right?
That's exactly how I feel. That's sort of what I try and put across in the show. And I think it's also because they're silent, the comedy's very, very kind of fresh. You can keep on laughing because you're not going to miss any dialogue. And so what you get are these waves and waves and waves of released laughter, stuff that's been built up for ages. And they are very good at getting that laughter out. And I think that's exactly it. People arrive and at a tough old day, they're fed up. They come and see the show, and like everything, suddenly it just gets released. And the laughter is just wonderful to see. I think the reason why they worked then and they work now is that there's some sense that they're at the bottom of the heap. They're the bottom of the food chain, always. They are the ones who have to struggle. So no matter how bad things are for us, things will be worse for them. And then we watch them as they pull out of that in some way or other. And they always end up their films on top. They always win through. And I think that's part of it. And, you know, we can predict some of what they're going to do, but we can't predict the rest of it. We can't predict how they're going to react in some situations where they just do something so off the wall brilliant that you just can't help but laugh at it. And I think that's what makes them work now. I mean, a lot of these films, John, are actually 100 years old. I mean, we're talking about comedy from, you know, a period, well, obviously before sound came in. And that's where I come in, because I'm playing piano for them. And I'm also introducing them, and I'm talking as I play. So I'm taking people through what's going on in the films. I'm contextualizing. I'm giving them a bit of background as to what I'm doing with the piano and what the piano is trying to do in terms of supporting comedy. You know, the famous saying, dying is easy, comedy's hard. Playing piano is quite hard for comedy as well. Because you do have to get out of the way a lot of the time and let them get the laughs and sort of ride them a little bit with the music. So you'll come out, you know, having had what I hope is just a thoroughly entertaining, laughter-filled evening. And you'll learn a little bit more about Laurel and Hardy and probably a bit more about me, which you probably didn't want to know. But hey, you know, it's my show.
There's always more room for more Neil, for sure. You were saying about music there, playing the piano. I distinctly recall them having a theme.
They did.
They did. And it's in my head right now. That's the magic of that theme. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, they did. And that does get, I play that in there. The only reason it doesn't turn up as a matter of course is because I'm showing all silent stuff. I'm not showing any sound stuff. But I do play that because people expect it. And actually, what I play at the piano, it's improvised. So I'm making it up as I go along. And what I'm using as the basis for my music is both this wonderful music that was written for their sound films by a genius called Marvin Hatley, who knew exactly how to give the right music to Laurel and Hardy, how to make them work.
Yeah.
But the other thing that really influences me, I've got to tell you, is Tom and Jerry.
Yes.
Tom and Jerry music is perfect for Stan and Ollie because you kind of play in between the big moments. So you do basically what you do with Laurel and, with Tom and Jerry. The same way that if Tom runs down a flight of stairs, hits a radiator and turns into an accordion, I literally will do, blah, 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 dink. It's like that with Laurel and Hardy. And you can do that. You change all the time. It's a great workout for me too. Makes my head, you know, I really do make it up as I'm going on. There's certain things I know work. But this is now, I think, the 17th show on my tour. And it will be completely different to any of the previous ones I've done or any of the ones I've got coming up afterwards.
So literally every show is different.
It is. It's because I can't remember what I've played at the end of the show. I can remember some of the tunes, but only, and as I get older, I remember less and less. So I have to keep it fresh. I have to do new stuff each time. And I tell the audience that so that they know, you know, this isn't all prepared down to the last note by any means.
They were actually at the theatre, the new theatre role that you're coming to play here in Portsmouth, they were actually there at one stage, weren't they?
They were. And in fact, Ollie had his birthday there. And the theatre staff made him a cake. And there's photographs of Ollie blowing off the candles on his cake. And I think that's lovely. This is the first theatre I've played where they play. And I will be very, very aware of walking out onto that same stage they walked out onto. And I'll tell the audience a little bit of what they did when they were on that stage as well, because they had a whole sketch that they put together. And I'll find the date and I'll tell them exactly how it worked so that we get a little bit of a chance of a sort of a bit of a time machine as well to take, because that space, I mean, I love the theatre anyway. And that space particularly feels like there's ghosts going back to Victorian times in it. And I'm absolutely sure two of those ghosts are Stan and Ollie. And to be able to conjure them up for the audience will be really, really nice and really special.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to it. It's coming to the new Theatre Royal. Just remind us of the date again, please, sir.
Don't go away.
Information we've got in front of us. Let's have a look at that really quickly. I'm sure it's here somewhere. 22nd of May. There we go. The 22nd of May. You'll hear it.
May 22nd. There you go.
Very much looking forward to it.
Seriously, go online, have a look at the posters, have a look at the leaflets. www.thesilentpianistspeaks.co.uk has got the whole tour.
Brilliant.
And the details for each one are in there. But go to the theatre and book up. And I can't wait to come. And I look forward to seeing you when I get there, John.
I look forward to seeing you too, Neil. Thank you so much for your time. And yeah, look forward to seeing you at the show. Thank you.
Real pleasure. Thanks very much, mate.